Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in to tonight's broadcast. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I certainly trust that you're going to join us and be with us and enjoy the show tonight. Last week, we also had a very good show, and if you missed it, I'm going to encourage each and every one of you all to please go in and listen to the archives, because it was a very good show. You don't want to miss that show. It was. You can certainly go back and listen to it as you can with any of our shows. We have done well over, over 700 shows now. We've been on the air for 6 years, and we've done well over 700 shows. So please, we're going to ask that you join us by going in and check out any of our shows that are all scheduled in the archives. I'm certain that there's one in there that you will be more than happy to listen to. Once again, go in, check out our archives. You've got a number of shows. I'm sure that there is a topic that will be of interest to you, and all you've got to do simply is to go in to the website and check that out. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can certainly call in at 347-857-1769. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can certainly call in at 347-857-1769. And if you can't listen by way of the phone live, you can certainly go in and listen to it over the computer by simply going to drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. Once again, you can go in at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. Either one of those will certainly get you into the broadcast. You can certainly go to and check out my website, check out my store at drjesswalker.com, and I can assure you there's a product there that you may be of interest in, and you can certainly check that out. And we've got some stuff that's actually going on sale. We've actually got some things that are on sale now, so you will definitely want to stay tuned for that. All right, I'm going to go ahead at this time and bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, excuse me, and we're going to give her an opportunity to bring in her commercial. Ms. Blake, good evening, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you doing today?
I am doing just wonderful. I trust that you are as well.
Yes, I am enjoying the beautiful warm weather we have here in the A.
Oh, good. That's a plus. That's nice to hear that you're experiencing some warm weather for a change. Awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome. I'm very happy to hear that. Yes.
Great.
Why don't you go ahead at this time, and we're going to give you an opportunity to send you a shout-out with your commercial. I'm just getting into the studio. We were traveling. I'm just getting back in town, and a couple of days I'll be up in your neck of the woods, up in Atlanta.
Oh, you know, okay.
I'm trying to take a little
welcome
screen.
You.
Thank you. I'm trying to take a little spring vacation break here. And see what, now that Atlanta's warm, because last time I was there, which was about 6 weeks ago, it was a little cold. And I caught a cold and even started to lose some of my voice for a long period of time. My voice was not faint. So now that you're telling me it's warm, then I can I can welcome you and get back up here.
I better warn you, the temperature is supposed to drop by the weekend. And I'm actually leaving town. So you're coming and I'm going.
Thanks for sharing that. Why don't you go ahead and give me a commercial break this time?
Sure. I'm Audrey B. or Audrey Blake. I'm the author of a couple of books. Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement was my first book, published in 2007. And then my newest release book is a second edition of that called Simply Falling in Love with Me. And I also have an ebook that's on the internet right now. You can find it on Amazon.com. It's called Dying to Wake Up. It's a novel. And that novel eventually will find its way to publication as a hard copy. But if you want a good novel to read on your electronic device, go check it out. It's written under the pen name of Marcy Presley. It is a very romantic, suspenseful drama and surprises. And I have it priced at only $4.99 at this time. So if you'd like to get a great read at a excellent bargain price, that would be the one to check out, as well as Falling in Love with Me. You can get Falling in Love with Me by going to any of your local bookstores and asking for it, or you can go online and order it any place, BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. So that's primarily it for my publications at this time. Some of the other services that I do offer, because I wear many hats, I am a certified professional life coach, so I do offer by telephone nationwide professional life coaching services. And so I help you develop a plan to reach your goals. Also specialize in helping those of you out there who would say, I always want to write a book. You start a book and just can't seem to finish the project. Well, I can help you get there. I'm available for empowerment speaking engagements, as well as, you know, any type of workshops dealing with empowerment and stress reduction. That's what I do. So I've been a little busy, Dr. Walker, doing a lot of different things, but
It sounds like it, and I'm so happy to hear that. Busy, I think, is a good thing.
When
people can stay busy, you know, especially doing something that's progressive and positive. So that is an excellent thing, and I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I do want to add.
You have any ahead.
I just do want to add, because I've told our listening audience all of these services, and they're probably like, well, how do I get in touch with her or her company? I'm also the CEO of Fostering Leadership in You, known as FLY for short, F-L-Y. And we have a website. You can go to our company website to find out more about our services or complete the Contact Us page if you'd like a personal conversation with us. The website is fosteringleaders.org, O-R-G. Or you can just give us a phone call. The office number is 770-866-2162. Again, that's 770-866-2162. We welcome, you know, hearing from you at any time.
All right. Ms. Blake, let me just ask, have you been enjoying your airtime over the radio with us for the times that you've been spending with us? I certainly have enjoyed having you with us.
Oh, yes. It's definitely one of the highlights of my week. As I told you, I do wear several hats, and doing this show has been fascinating. It definitely is a ministry. And you'll find sometimes that, I come off sister girl or fun. But at the end of the day, we really do take the show seriously and really want to help people make good choices and good decisions. But at the same time, I'm always going to challenge our listeners to think outside the box and think outside of themselves. It's so easy to just, think about things one way and one way only. And there's a whole world out there of diversity. And so that's, you'll find that's my challenge that I try to do with our listeners, is to get us to think outside of ourselves.
Well, you know, and I think that that is so important. Unfortunately, a number of people don't end up thinking outside of themselves, and they think as a result, they have relationships, so many relationship issues because they fail to do that. So what's one of the ways, just before we go into tonight's story and topic, what's one of the ways that you think that you can share with people how to come outside of thinking just about yourself, outside of your box, when it comes to relationships?
Well, I think the main thing is looking at the other person's point of view. I mean, doing the show has even helped me, because sometimes I'll say something and that's supposedly profound, and I realize, like, oh, that's a good idea, you know. So to really just, you know, we tend to see the world through our own lenses. That's normal. But really, if you're having a discussion with your significant other, you know, to really try to see where they're coming from, see their point of view, see it from, you know, stand, you know, if you're looking at a scene, there are different angles of the same scenery, and depending on where you're standing will determine how you focus in on the scenery. And so try standing at a different angle, you know.
I think that that is so important. Try standing just basically from at a different angle and see, you know, how you see that thing. And you'd be surprised. You may just see something differently. Chances are you will see something different because you're standing at a different angle. That's just like even sometimes even coming in my own house. I might spend time in my office and look and say, you know what, from a different angle, and say, now there's a book on my shelf that I have not seen in so long. Wow, or mm-hmm. I don't recall even placing that book on that shelf. So you're right. You're absolutely right. We've got to come outside of the box and stop thinking about things just as they are. Anything else you want to share on? Go ahead.
Yeah, this kind of dropped in my spirit because I'm experiencing it personally. One of the things also is try a different approach. You know, sometimes in relationships and friendships, you know, sometimes we come at people instead of really trying to be more understanding. I think I ended the show last week by saying, you know, be kind, be understanding, be forgiving, because most people are doing the best they can. And so I'm learning personally how to just be more kind, more gentle, more understanding, you know, instead of coming at somebody, fussing at them for what they didn't do. You know, try really talking to them and getting a better understanding of maybe the factors that may have contributed to why they didn't do something. And you know, you may just have a whole different perspective, and you may get a totally different response. So.
Well, I tend to agree with that. I think that you will get a different response when we tend to, you know, think a little differently. You know, we can always stay in our traditional ways of thinking, but I think it takes an effort sometimes to just say, well, you know what, let me try to come outside of this way that I've been thinking and see how I can think some other way, even if you have to go write something down. You know, okay, what's my traditional way of thinking? Let me write mm-hmm. something down and see if I can come up with another way to present something or to even think about something. So I think that becomes very important. Well, you're about ready for tonight's topic?
I am.
Okay, it's a very good one. Excuse me. It's a very good topic. And our producer sent us over this one. And I am excited about it because, you know, to those that have a significant other, whether you're married or dating someone or simply interested in dating someone, tonight's topic is going to deal with, if I can get my voice, you know, being on the road sometimes can take a toll on you. But I hate to make excuses because I'm on the road quite a bit. I'll be on the road again this weekend. And thanks to you for sharing with me that the weather's going to drop in Atlanta. But this time I'll be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared for the 50s.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's not so bad. I will be prepared. All right, tonight's topic is how to become best friends with your significant other. how to become best friends with your significant other. And just before I go into tonight's story, Ms. Blake, let me ask you, why is it so important, you think, that couples become best friends?
One reason, and I was going to touch on this anyway, I think it's about how you treat each other. You know, best friends are kind to each other. They're never malicious. They never try to pay each other back. They're best friends. And so they just adore that person, and they are kind to that person. So if you use that model in relationship, you find some positive results.
Okay. You know, and best friends, and I agree with you, best friends to me means, you know what, it's like saying, hey, I want to be your best friend. I want to be that person that looks out for you. I want to be that person that has your back.
Right.
Even though that might mean we don't always agree, but we can agree to disagree, but I want to be your best friend. I want to, that closeness, especially if you're married, I think that that becomes so important. Now, even if you're dating, that becomes so important, because if you can see signs that this person is not trying to be close to you, I think that's your sign that that's not a person that's going to be your best friend, that's going to have your back in every direction. And that would be the time that you want to bail out then, before it goes any further and it becomes more difficult to get out. What do you think about that?
So I definitely would agree, because your best friend will always be there for you and wants the best for you. So if that person's not showing that, then, yeah, it's definitely a sign.
All right. Just before we go to the phone lines any further, let me go ahead with tonight's story. The characters are Jackie and Kevin. Jackie and Kevin were acquaintances while in college. After their college years, they connected by finding employment, happened to be at the same company. As a result, they became good friends. In fact, they became the best of friends and doing things together, which involved spending plenty of quality time together, which no doubt drew them closer. They eventually became a couple and eventually married, and the marriage has been successful for the past 13 years with minimal frustrations. Now, you know every marriage is going to have problems, but theirs have been one of such that has been with minimal frustrations. Now, they attribute their successful marriage to some of the following. Number one, they do a great deal of praying together. Number two, they spend family time on a regular and routine basis with their three children. This goes on all the time. Number three, they still continue to date each other on a weekly basis. Number four, they attend church together as a couple and as a family. Number five, they plan their future together. Number six, they share their ideas, their ideologies, their goals together, their inspirations. Number seven, they enjoy life together on a daily and routine basis. Now, that's what attributes to their success, because they have become best of friends looking out for each other. And tonight's topic is how to become best friends with your significant other. If you have a comment, question, concern, and you want to speak to that issue, please, by all means, press 1 so that we can talk to you. Let's go to the phone lines just for a second. We're going to go to 786-624. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 786-624. Who will be on the air with?
Sharon, Dr. Walker, how are you?
We're doing just wonderful, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. Let me ask you, Ms. Blake, we've got Sharon on the line.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sharon, let me ask you, how important is it for couples, whether they're married or dating, to be best of friends?
I think it's super important, especially when the hard times come. It will test the quality of the relationship that's been built. The different facts that you just talked about, as far as praying together, worshiping together, having a good time, I think also respect is very important. You must respect each other, respect the differences. So many times in marriages, when we see our partner, we see different things we don't like, it's important that even though we don't like them, we still respect our partner for who they are. And the way that we talk to them, the way that we respond to how their philosophy of life, a lot of of times you will have differences in the way that you think, let's say, the children should be raised, for instance, you still have to respect your partner for their position. And I think that plays a big role, especially in the man, as far as the man. The woman has to learn to respect him. That's the best gift she can give her husband, to love and respect him. Because when she does that, then he can work with that. No matter what the differences are, you can get through it.
Okay, you know, I think you touched on some good things with a man. A man is always seeking the respect from his woman. I mean, that's almost like it's a man thing. And for you to present that, I think that that's wisdom. Because a lot of times, oftentimes, there are women who don't know how to respect their man. And what's one of the ways, let me ask you, Sharon, that a woman can show that she respects her man? And then, you know, and in doing so, I believe that men open up to their women in terms of being more maybe loving, kind. As when Blake said, you know, being best of friends means you're being kind. And respect goes also for the woman. But what might be one or two ways, Sharon, that you can see that a woman can clearly respect her man?
I think by listening to him. A lot of times women tend to, we tend to communicate faster, and I think more than the men. A lot of times I think if women would just keep quiet and learn to listen and then ask a question to make sure that you're understanding what he's saying, and then you respond, that to me, that shows respect. Because you're not quick to say anything that you're going to regret, but you're taking your time to listen to make sure that you're understanding what he's saying, and then you respond. I think a lot of times also being there for him, whether it's cooking his food, making sure his meals are there on time, the chores that you would do on a daily basis, making sure that everything is in order. The home is in order. The children are in order. When he comes home, things are quiet. All of that shows great respect and love for your husband, because then what he can do, he'll be in a different environment where he can relax, and then he can open up to you and maybe say things and do things that he normally wouldn't do, because the atmosphere of the home is one of relaxation. It's inviting, and it's showing that I care about you and I want you to relax, because this is your kingdom. You're my king. So by setting that environment, you're telling him, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing for us. And I think that shows a lot. That goes a long way for him.
I tend to think that those are some very interesting points. And in return, and obviously you're a woman that gives respect to your man, and in return, what do you think is reciprocated to that woman?
Well, love, what she's looking for, that attention, you know, that attention that every woman looks for, and showing that you're number one in my life. Because when a man shows a woman that, believe me, it will take the marriage to another level. A heavenly level, I call it. Yeah.
Okay. A heavenly level. Miss Blake, do you want to contribute to anything that maybe Sharon has presented?
I agree with everything that's been said. I think they're all very good points. Just making people feel valued. And again, my book touches on that a little bit, mutual enhancement, mutually enhancing each other's lives.
That's good.
All right. We're going to ask both of you all to stand by just for a second. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 954-417. Once again, that's 954-417. Who do we have on the air with us this evening? Yes, you're on you're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you? Who do we have on the air with us this evening? Welcome.
This is Sean.
Sean, thank you for joining us. Sean, tonight's topic, how to become best friends with your significant other. Did you have a comment on how someone can become best friends with their significant other?
Well, I think the first caller did an excellent job. I mean, she hit every area, every aspect of keeping her man happy. And I believe that wholeheartedly, that just like they said, a happy wife is a happy life. Well, we are turning it around and say the same thing with the male. I mean, if he is content with you and you're doing everything possible to keep him happy and his kingdom happy, as she stated, I think men are not that hard to please. It just takes a little effort on the woman's part.
Well, you know what, Sean? I think that you raised an interesting point of view. I don't think men are that difficult either. And I think that women are starting to find that, you know what, they're not that difficult. Men can be rather simple, you know. And just like with women, you say a happy wife is a happy life. You know, a happy wife has a happy home. The home is happy. Well, you know, when that man finds, when that woman finds out how to please him, I think that she the world opens up to her even more. So you're right. Sharon did cover a lot of areas. Now, in the case with Jackie and Kevin, you know, they did, you know, here are some of the signs that kept their 13-year marriage of being so successful. You know, they did much prayer together. They have family ties with their three children. They spend a lot of family time together with their kids. The couple, they date. They continue to date every week. They attend church together. They plan their future together. They share their ideals, inspirations, ideologies, and goals together. They enjoy life together. So any one of those, Sean, you can touch on. Let me just throw one out there. Why is it so important that a couple plan their future together? You know, why does that make a difference as opposed to being best of friends?
Basically, I believe that a relationship is a job. So the same, you know, difference when you sit down and you set goals for yourself personally, I think goals should be, you know, set for your relationship. And you can do small-time goals for you and that mate. And, you know, some things that y'all want to accomplish together, because when you have kids, you're working, you got other things going on, organizations, it does get in the way, especially when you're even trying to build a kingdom, you know, with Christ. They put love on the back burner. So then your relationship suffers. So if you do have, like, little set goals within their relationship, you will continue to grow. I think as you should, as a couple, set small goals as well as bigger goals, so you can grow together and, you know, fall in love, because we put love in the back burner too much to satisfy our own desires in life.
And I agree with you, Sean, because that can end up making it where if you're not cultivating and fertilizing that love and planning things together, I believe, I agree with you, it can certainly hurt. Ms. Blake, let me ask you, let me go here with one of the first things on Kevin and Jackie's list. They believe in much prayer together. Why is that so important? You know, and you hear a lot of people talk about much prayer, much power with their relationship. Why is that so important, do you think?
Because prayer is extremely important in all areas of life for guidance. Just, you know, we have a lot of our own opinions about things, and prayer has a way of just giving us that spiritual guidance that we need. And prayer does change things, you know, and that's important, because you're not going to always see things eye to eye. And praying together is very important. It's something that is that spiritual core that connects them and will help guide them through their relationship.
Okay, I think that that is a very, very interesting perspective that you've given. Let me go in. We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. We're going to go to 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, how can people become best friends here in their, with their significant other?
Oh, that's I think you would have to become friends to get to know each other in the beginning before a relationship is created. Some of the people on the panel is making it sound so easy. These relationships are easy when I've been married for 22 years, and it's a lot of work. But sometimes you're going to run into one spouse who doesn't pray and the other one does, and things just don't work out that way. So you'll find yourself praying all the time and still struggling.
Okay.
And a lot of times you feel yourself, you know, calling out for help from God. And I feel as though it's what the couples put in, what work they put in together.
Okay.
I find it hard a lot of times to juggle things around. It's not easy making dates. because the two callers before made it seem like pleasing your husband is the only thing that you have to do by making sure everything is taken care of before he gets home. Well, my husband don't get home until 8:30 at night, and sometimes I'm still juggling things around with my kids. Homework, they're coming from different activities from after school. I mean, it just doesn't fall into place as easily as she stated.
Okay. Then how would you, how have, in 24 years of your marriage, how have you all been able to become best of friends, or are you all best of friends?
Well, we enjoy each other's company. We talk a lot. We make each other laugh. I love the jokes that my husband makes, and a lot of times we crack jokes on one another to keep things going. I mean, we've gotten to arguments where we just looked at each other and just laughed about some of the things that we said or did, you know, because it's difficult having a relationship, and like the last caller said, it's a lot of work. But what happens when you're tired, and sometimes you don't want to put in the work, you know?
Okay. So what do you do then when you're tired and you don't want to put in the work?
Well, sometimes it's like you laugh a little. You kind of get too relaxed being together for so long, especially.
Okay.
And I'm only speaking from my point of view. There's been times where I was jealous because my husband would still be at work and everything fell on me. And you get tired of things falling on you all the time. Call it selfish, but it's not selfish to me when I'm the one that's taking on the burden of what's going on at home, and he's at work. He comes home 9, 10 o'clock at night, and he's tired. He doesn't have time for me or our kids. So that's a difficult stage to go through. I mean, it's just not easy.
Are those times when he expects his dinner to be prepared, or he says, "Well, baby, don't worry about it. I won't eat tonight. I haven't eaten for the last 8 hours." And he plays that card with you. And then
Dr. Walker, if you're going to come in at 8 o'clock at night and you've been at work since 7:30, you should have gotten something to eat while you were out. Because I don't cook every day. That's another job. Cooking is a job. Raising kids is a job. Doing homework is another job on top of the job that I have for 8 hours, too. So there's some nights that I don't cook dinner every night. And if I do, it's only because I don't want to waste any money buying things out in the street.
Well, Angela, just before we go to another call, I want to ask you this question. Then I want to ask you to stand by. Then how is it then that, I mean, would you say in this day and age, is marriage fun, you know, the longevity of it, or is it, you know, in your initial stage, you better count your blessings because that might be as good as it's going to get? I mean, talk to me.
I'm going to give you my honest opinion. It was fun in the beginning when we didn't have so many kids and we were able to just deal with one child and juggle, you know, around different things. But once all the other kids start coming in, that takes away from husband and wife time because now you're putting in time raising your kids along with your husband. So if you can kind of fluctuate time between the two and then on top of working, then, you know, I'm going to say yes and no. No, because it takes away a lot of husband and wife time when you have kids. And I'm not going to lie, it's been difficult being married. A lot of times I wanted to throw the towel in because you get fed up with so many different things or different obstacles that you come across.
Okay.
So all right. If I had to do it all again, I wouldn't have never had kids, and I probably would have waited until my 30s to get married.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you may be speaking emotionally right now, but I'm sure you love your children and.
I love my husband and my kids dearly.
And your kids, right. And did I hear you say earlier that you get to the point where you're raising your husband as well? Does it feel like that sometimes?
Sometimes it does, Dr. Walker. And he probably feels the same way about me. You know, he's older than me, and he's more laid back than I am. I'm the type of person, I do everything on a time schedule, and if you don't stick to it, it just don't work out because we are raising a family, you know? And
right.
sometimes you have to be able to maneuver things, in other words, to make things work.
Okay.
Because a lot of times we don't get date night, you know? Maybe we don't have a babysitter or the money isn't right for us to do it, but it's not, people think it's easy and it's not.
Okay. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We welcome your comments on tonight's topic, how to become best friends with your significant other. How to become best friends with your significant other. And so if you have a comment, please go ahead and send it in. We're starting to get some comments come in now. Let me go to you, Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, when a couple is probably reaching a point where they're feeling overwhelmed, what are some fun things that they can do to keep that friendship, you know, there?
Well, you know, just kind of go back to those simple things that they found to be fun in the beginning. I mean, I tell my clients that as a life coach, you know, when looking at how to de-stress, you know, what is that that brought you together and that you found fun? Because, and again, I can appreciate the other caller saying that time is, it's not always simple to do that because of life and responsibilities, but it's also
right.
important to make the time. So, you know, looking at those things, those simple things, you know, maybe you used to have a picnic in the park and, you know, spread a blanket and be out in nature and enjoy nature together, you know, and maybe you've gotten away from that. So I always just try to take people back to what it was that made them happy in the first place.
All right. I think that that's so important. Let me go to Sharon. Sharon, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Why is it that, and I hear this often, that when kids come along, it really seems to start bringing a great deal of stress to the marriage. Why, in your opinion, why do you think that is?
I think because as women who are nurturers, we tend to focus. It's almost like when you're taking care of children, you zone in. And your focus and your concentration is so heavy on those kids. Not that you mean for it to be that way, but we were created that way. So we're focusing on the kids, we focus on them, especially if they're babies, you know, one or two. The younger they are, the more attention we put into our children, where the husband may feel as though he's being ignored, he's being pushed to the side, he's not as significant, when in actuality, it doesn't have to be that way. The two of you can do things together. If you're changing the diaper, the husband can be right there. He can change the diaper. You can laugh about things. It's stages that you go through. And I think that if you keep your marriage a priority and you remember who you had this child with, you'll remember to keep together throughout the stages. Take pictures, laugh about it, talk about it. The struggles that you're having, even the stresses that you're having with the children, you talk about them. And maybe even find some other ways that you can do things to where you keep the marriage a priority. My personal experience, I got married later in my 30s, 33. So when I came into the marriage, I came in with a different mindset. So did my husband. He was just about to turn 30. When I was 30, he was 29. So we were older. We knew what we wanted. He sat me down. We wrote our goals together. And it was a different focus than wanting to go out there and have fun. And we focused. We knew what we wanted. And that helped a lot throughout the struggle with our young children because we were ready for it. We were ready.
How old were you all before you started having children? I mean, how much time did you all spend together before you all started having your kids?
2 years.
Oh, 3 years. Then was that part of your planning?
No, we prayed a lot. I prayed a lot. He prayed a lot, and we just moved forward. It was like there was a divine hand guiding us because we wanted to get married earlier, but things didn't work out due to family and my father not wanting it to go through. And that's going to be in a book that I've written that I'm getting published. And it's What God Has Put Together, Let No Man Put Asunder, the divine hand that still intervenes. And that book is coming out very soon. So it talks about the
No, go ahead. It talks about what?
It talks about the struggle that we had to get married. And when we finally did, it was a beautiful thing. And my dad even looks at it and says, Sharon, there's so many things you wanted, and I tried to stop you because I didn't see it happening. But I told my dad, I prayed. Daddy, I'm praying. I'm letting God lead me just like you taught me. And he learned right. to let that string go and to allow for God to lead.
That
but,
is beautiful. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
So I feel that even in a marriage, when the kids come along, remember, God will not give you more than you can bear. He will not give you something that he will not give you the divine power to go through. So even when you have children and the two of you are praying, you're going to make time for each other. Even if it's at breakfast, just sitting down and talking or just laughing. My husband does that a lot too. He made me laugh so much. I didn't even know how it sounded for me to laugh. But when he came into my life, he brought a part of me that I didn't even know. He complimented me in so many different areas that I just had to let go. I had to pull that open that gate that I had locked for years and let him in because I knew that God had answered my prayer. I just knew it. And when you know it, God will lead you through every single facet. No matter the struggle, he will lead you through it as the two of you let go. Because the word
wow,
says
that,
when two come in together and agreeing, anything is possible. So if you want that power, you got to bow by faith, and God will help you through all those different levels that you need to go through in the marriage.
Excellent, excellent. And let me just say this to you. When your book mm-hmm. is ready or you want to speak to even the abstract of the book as it's in
yes.
preparation, you can. We uh-huh. you have an open forum to come here. We'll make you our featured guest. And be glad to help you promote your book. Ms. Blake, are you there? You want to make a comment?
Yes, I'm here, and I was thinking the same thing. We'd love to have her on the show to talk about your book because it sounds like a very interesting one that a lot of people can benefit from.
Thank you. Okay.
Absolutely. We're going to start taking some comments, and Sean, if you're still with us, we would like to give you that first comment. Opportunity to respond to this first comment that's come into the studio. This female writes in, she says, let me make sure that I can read it clearly here. This female writes in, she says, in reference to how to become best friends with your significant other, I've been married for 7 years, three of which it took me and my husband to learn how to become best friends. I think that if you focus on establishing, she says, I think that if you focus on establishing a friendship during your dating stages, it's likely to carry over into marriage. Sean, let me ask you, do you think that she's anywhere close to being remotely correct? All right, let's see. I think we still got Sean there. Sean, if you can hear us, do you think that she's anywhere close to being remotely correct? All right, let me pose that same question to Angela. Angela, do you think that this young lady is anywhere close to being remotely correct?
To be honest, can you repeat what you read?
Yeah, sure. This
what's
young lady,
question? I'm
says,
sorry.
Yeah, she says, in reference to tonight's topic, how to become best friends with your significant other, I've been married for 7 years, three of which it took me and my husband to learn how to become best of friends. I think if you, she says, I think that if you focus on establishing a friendship during the dating stages, it's likely to carry over into marriage. Do you think that she's got a point there, that if you focus on the dating stages becoming friends?
To a certain extent, but how can I put it? My husband and I were friends when we were dating, but because we married so young, I got married at 23. He already had 3 kids before he turned 20. I had a son at 20. So we were already in a ready-made family. So my dynamic
uh-huh.
is different from hers. And even though I will say yes, we have remained friends, but there's been plenty of times where I felt as though I allowed a lot of things to ride. In other words, I allowed him to get away with a lot of things, and I had a lot of regrets by marrying someone who already had kids when I should have started
uh-huh.
a family with someone who didn't have any. And I'm not saying that I don't love my husband and his kids,
no, I'm
but
saying.
Now coming from the age I am now, and had I had to do it all over again, I would have never married someone who had kids prior mm-hmm. to getting married.
Okay.
I don't know if I made myself clear.
No. I think you were quite clear on that. So did I hear you correct in saying that by 20, your husband already had 3 kids of his own?
Yes, he had 4. He was 18. And I think his last daughter was born before he turned 20 or 21.
He was busy. He was quite busy.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably hasn't really had an opportunity to really be, when I say a single man, you know, he hasn't had that opportunity to know what it's like to not have to be so in tune to have so much responsibility. Would you say that's fair?
Exactly.
Wow.
But
and
the thing is
you.
That he cherished every moment he has with me. And he tells me he loves me and I'm the only person for him. So even though he hasn't experienced that, he's always been into just me. Now, however, my feelings have been different. Because I felt as though because I was too young, and that actually caused us to be separated a year after, maybe 6 months after we were married, because I started feeling like I was overwhelmed. I got into something I shouldn't have got myself into, but because he kept pursuing me and the love he felt for me kept me there with him.
I see.
I've never felt that love from any other man, ever.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. All right. Ms. Lake, in what she's saying, do you think that there are disadvantages in having kids too young, maybe?
There are, and you all just touched on it. There are pros and cons, and somebody may be listening and say, what? How can there be a pro? But the cons are the fact that you do miss out on those early young adult years of being single. Like, I didn't experience it probably until I hit late 40s and 50s, you know, because it's a developmental stage that you miss out on. But the pros to it, and people get married young, that does happen, is that you don't have this great gap between the children and the parents. So, you know, a lot of people are waiting to have kids now into their 30s and their 40s, and when they're more affluent and doing better economically, which I don't knock that, I think that's good, but the downside to that is you've got this great gap now between you and your children. So me as a mom, my oldest son was born when I was 21, and, you know, that's been an advantage because I'm not so far away. You know, I'm like the cool mom, and yet he knew I was mom. He knew I wasn't his friend. I was his mother. But I'm not so far removed that I don't understand what his generation is experiencing. You know, it does make a difference. So there are pros and cons.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, let's take another comment that's come into the studio. We have several of them. And Ms. Blake, we're going to present this one to you, then we're going to go with Sharon with the next one. This writer writes in reference to tonight's topic, how to become best friends with your significant other. This female says, I think you spend quality time listening and getting to know each other. And that was on the lines of what even Sharon was saying earlier, the importance of listening. How important is that, Ms. Blake, you know, spending quality time listening and getting to know each other?
It's extremely important. And I think maybe Sharon or one of our callers touched on it early on, is you know, not just, you know, we do it every day, but being careful to not just formulate your thoughts while that person's talking, but to truly listen intently and hear what they're saying and seeking to understand what they are expressing. I think that's key.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. Let me get the next one prepared here for Sharon. This male writes in. He says, how to become best of friends with your significant other. He says, I believe if you get into the habit of sharing your daily activities with each other, whether they're good or bad experiences, this could develop into an awesome friendship over time. Is that Sharon, do you think there's any truth to that, you know, sharing your daily activities and experiences with each other, whether good or bad?
Well, I think that that could, but also could go the other way as well, because you don't want to share everything until you know that this person is a person that you really want to spend the rest of your life with. I would be cautious in what I share with this person.
Okay. All right. And why is that?
Well, you want to share those things that can help to build a relationship if you're serious about them, but you don't want to share everything. If you know you're going to tell them something that may come back to haunt you, if the relationship should break up, you want to be careful what you share in any relationship.
Okay.
If it's not very serious. If you're serious about the relationship and you see that it has potential, you know, and your goals, they're going in the right direction, both of you going together in the same direction, I say yes, of course. You share the good and the bad because that helps to bond. And the two of you can look back and see the different experiences, especially if you're coming from a spiritual standpoint. If you've gone through something and you're praying for something and you see how God has blessed you, then you can look at that will help to draw the two of you together and to build your faith. And I think that's very important.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're about 8 minutes before we start bringing the show to a close. And about seven of those, well, actually about in the next 5 minutes, we're going to wrap up. And I'll go into maybe a two-minute food for thought. So if you have a comment, if you would like to speak to any of the issues that we've discussed tonight, Kevin and we've had our characters in tonight's story, Kevin and Jackie, you know, who've had a successful marriage, you know, for the past 13 years with minimal frustration because, you know, they do praying together on a daily basis. They spend family time with their three children. They continue to still date each other every week. They plan their future together. They attend church together. They share their ideals, inspirations, ideologies, and their goals together. And they actually enjoy life together. So if you want to speak to any of the issues, if you have a way that people can become best friends to their significant other, please, we would love to hear from you as well. Even if it's not on tonight's show, you can send us in a comment, and we'll present that in a forthcoming show. Ms. Blake, let me focus on asking you this question. Is it necessary to be best friends? I heard Angela even put out there tonight, her husband and I, she was reluctant or slow to say, but, you know, we're not trying to call anybody out. But do you have to be best of friends, or can you just be, you know, cordial, especially when you're married?
Well, you should be deeper than just cordial. You really should have a true friendship. I've always been told that the best relationships develop from friendships when they start as a friendship first. And that friendship ideally should carry over into the marriage. So it's important because, you know, you got to be able to trust and really be able to share your innermost self with that person.
Okay, I think that that is important. Let me go to we're going to go ahead and continue in keeping it real. We're going to go to Angela and ask Angela, give her this comment, actually. This male writes in, he says, in reference to how to become best friends, he says, just don't try to control or dominate the relationship. Instead, he says, learn to accept each other's differences by embracing and enjoying them. He says that Sharon on the show, he believes, mentioned that. So let's go with that, Angela. He says that Sharon brought that up earlier by embracing differences and enjoying each other. Don't try to control or dominate the relationship. Is that important? Is that necessary that you don't try to control or dominate? Wait a minute. We're not. Okay, let's go. Angela, if you can hear me, can we?
Yes,
are you there?
Yes.
Okay, now, go ahead. What you were saying. Is it so important?
No, I was agreeing. It's very important not to dominate and control the relationship. You know, you both have equal share in what's going on. The thing is that people are different. A lot of times I find myself getting frustrated with doing family time. I want to do things by myself because I feel like I'm quicker at what I need to get done And a lot of times my husband gets frustrated because he wants to do the family thing. So what I'll do is cheat a little bit because I'm off on the weekdays. I'll do the important things like shopping and buying the household things alone because I get real frustrated when the kids are with me and he wants to go do this. And once again, I'm on a time schedule. I have limits. I only want to be out a certain amount of time, and I want to get it done right away. But his thing is, but Angie, it's family time. We're out together. Everybody should get their turn in what they want to do, which sometimes I'm selfish on that part because I'm not used to doing these things because he's always been he's haven't been available a lot of the times to do the family thing.
Okay. All right. So you're saying then that it's important that you don't try to control or dominate the relationship. Instead, learn to accept each other's differences with what the guy sent in. That's important. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by and let me go ahead and this final comment, Ms. Blake, we're going to give to you. And then I'm going to ask each one of you all in a nutshell, 15 seconds or less, to tell, give me one of your thoughts on how to become best friends with your significant other, and then I'll go right into my food for thought. So, Ms. Blake, here we go to the female. She says, to become best friends with your significant other, it's important that you spend a great deal of time doing things together and being together, not in a suffocating way, but lean more towards the trust and accepting, enjoying your individual space when necessary. So how important is that? She says, don't just suffocate the other person, but lean more towards trusting and accepting and enjoying your individual space when necessary.
I think that's critical. I know for me, that has been extremely important because space is important and together time is important. So I think that caller or the person, they made an excellent comment there.
Okay, all right. Let's go to Sharon first. Let's go to Sharon first and ask her in a nutshell, 15 seconds or less because we're cramped for time here. Sharon,
okay.
What's one way to be best friends with your significant other?
To make your relationship a priority and invest, and your dividends will be high and your reward will be great.
Okay, all right. We're going to actually stand by. Thank you for that. Let's go now to Angela. We're going to ask you, Angela, what's one of the best ways to become best friends with your significant other, no matter how tough it may be, and no matter how long you may have been married? What would be your advice?
Actually, I can't answer that. I'm going to be honest. I'm still learning how to fit in time with my husband because of our conflicted schedule from work. Been dealing with our kids.
And
so I can't
we
really
appreciate
answer that.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Maybe in our food for thought you'll get some thoughts on it just to think about. Let's go to Ms. Blake in a nutshell. You know, what's one of the best ways to become best friends with your significant other?
I think the main thing is trust. I know it's been said before, but I can't emphasize that enough. You have to trust that person. That's really important.
Okay, I think that is so important too, and on that note, we're clearly out of time, but I just want to go in and give maybe 10 thoughts on how to become best friends with your significant other. And a lot of this is repeated because it's been presented in tonight's broadcast with our callers and my co-host. Of course, the opinions that are expressed on tonight's broadcast are merely those of my own and those of my co-hosts and guests that call in. They do not necessarily reflect an agreeable term with me as to the opinions that were represented. But you can always get this information and perceive it. We're asking that you perceive it as educational information and view it as such. Now, here are 10 thoughts that I've thought about. You know, one, you can pray together on a daily or routine basis. I think that becomes very important, and that was mentioned also tonight. Number two, spend quality time, even worshiping together. That can even bond you close together. Number together that you both enjoy, and even the things that you don't enjoy, but try to place emphasis on doing the things with the other person because that's what they want to do, and vice versa. Number four, be completely open and honest with each other at all times. I think that becomes very important. Don't do anything to the other or behind the other's back that you wouldn't want them to do to you. Number five, share thoughts, goals, dreams, aspirations, ideologies, philosophies together. I think that becomes very important. Number six, show support, encourage each other. You know, these are things that helps to build and cultivate and fertilize relationships. Number seven, be sure to have each other's back. I think that that is so important when your significant other knows that, you know what, no matter what is going on, my significant other has my back. They have my better interests at heart. Number eight, always, always, always make each other the priority. I don't think that that was overemphasized tonight because it was. You know, I've heard Sharon talk about that. And my co-host brings out a multitude of ideas on making your relationship one where you can be best of friends. So always, always, always make each other the priority in the relationship. Number nine, never criticize, never call names that are derogatory. Never be physical or mentally abusive or demean. Never demean each other. I think that these are things that will quickly destroy a relationship at any time. And finally, number 10, remember to always compliment and love each other. Always remember to compliment each other and to love each other and do it in a genuine, Christ-like manner. Okay, on that note, we're clearly out of time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass this Friday, we ask that you join us once again next Tuesday live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. The topic will be, and we gave a little bit out of it tonight, the disadvantages in having children of youth. Once again, next Tuesday's topic, the disadvantages in having children in your early years of youth. All right, you don't want to miss that show. Join us this Friday, or if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us next Tuesday live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.